Our sermon text this morning is Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, and your house Bible is on page 809. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him.
Thank you, saints, for having me today. My name's Kyle. The church I come from, Cedar Point in Cedar Park, sends her greetings to you. If you would, I know that the text was on the screen, but it would be helpful if you turn there in your Bibles as we go work through this text together. The text is Matthew 4. If you are new to the Bible, that's the first book in the New Testament, and the big numbers are going to be your chapters, and your small numbers are going to be your verses. Please turn with me there. In Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, there's a national park that commemorates the battle that took place in Gettysburg in 1863, 162 years ago. At the park, they test historians and aspiring historians. This test checks if applicants can remember key details about the battle. The test is hard, and applicants must identify historical figures from their pictures, understand the writings, and track battlefield events down to the minute. This test is not held regularly, and actually only the most dedicated even know that the test exists. And this causes many to line up and wait for this test, and only the dedicated know that it even exists. The test is so challenging that most applicants fail. 30%, only 30% pass and become licensed battlefield guides. But imagine if there was a similar test tomorrow and you were taking it. How well would you do? Well, do you get points for writing your name? Because that's about how well I do. Imagine even further that the stakes were higher, that no longer was this test about becoming one of the prestigious battlefield guides. But what if you failed and you would die? And your eternal soul would be at stake. And not to push the analogy too far, but suppose someone had already taken this test for you and they failed. Luckily, there's still one more chance to take this test. This is the similar situation we read about in Matthew 4, 1 through 11. Let's read again the first four verses of this passage. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came to him, said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, 'Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Let's pray. Father in heaven, you have gathered your people here today. Feed us from your word. Lord Jesus, some of us are on the brink of temptation even now. Would you rebuke Satan on our behalf? Help us to look to you to be saved. Lord Spirit, our minds are dull and we need your help to obey you, to obey your word. Help us to think. Lord, some of us who have come here, if we have not trusted in your Son for salvation, we ask that you move on our hearts. We ask that you bless the hearers of this word and protect the preacher. We ask in Jesus' mighty name, amen. The title of this message today is Christ Victorious Over Temptation. Christ Victorious Over Temptation. Our passage, the main thing that these temptations will teach us is that Jesus withstands the testing of the devil, succeeding where others could not. Jesus withstands the testing of the devil, succeeding where others could not. And we'll see how he defeats Satan's temptation in three ways. First, Jesus defeats Satan's temptation by living by God's word. Living by God's word. This first point is going to be the longest point because several times in our passage, Jesus cites scripture in his resistance to all of Satan's temptations. Secondly, Jesus defeats Satan's temptation by trusting in God. By trusting in God. And finally, Jesus defeats Satan by worshiping God. Temptation 1. In verse 1, it starts with the word then. This means it's part of a sequence. The temptation follows Jesus' baptism. It's a key detail. Jesus had just been baptized by John, and the heavens were opened, and the Spirit of God descended on him like a dove, and God's voice audibly called from heaven, saying, "This is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased." Verse 1 tells us, "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil." With the Spirit of God resting on him, the Lord's Spirit guides Jesus into the wilderness. And Jesus fasts for 40 days and for 40 nights. This encounter is not a random event. It's not a satanic bushwhacking. It's an orchestrated testing by the Lord's Spirit himself. Waiting for Jesus in the wilderness is the tempter, the devil. Why is the Spirit leading Jesus to the devil? The setting is the wilderness, and it's important because it reflects the Israelites' 40-year wanderings. They failed their test time and time again, and instead of trusting in God's word that they would possess the land, that they doubted him and grumbled to God and Moses. Go back even further. Our first parents, they failed this test too. They were excommunicated out of the garden, cast out. Satan tempted Eve with devastating effects that we still feel today. Adam and his family were excommunicated. The result of those tests was banishment from the garden, wandering, and death. So why is Jesus being tempted by the devil? Why is he in the wilderness? It says it, verse 1, to be tempted. You see that? But what is at stake if Jesus fails this temptation? Why does this passage matter? The stakes are eternal. If Jesus fails, if he gives in even once, it's all over. It's all over for us. Because if he fails, there's no perfect life to offer. There's no sinless death on the cross. No resurrection to conquer the grave. Just darkness and damnation alongside the devil and his angels for all eternity. But if Jesus resists, he is glorified. And his resistance to temptation becomes our resistance to temptation. He grants believers his eternal life. The second Adam, Jesus Christ, will now be retested by that old serpent. Not in the abundance of the garden, but in lack after fasting and in weakness. Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and he was hungry. This shows that our master was a man. He hungered like we do. He needed food. In verse 3, we read, "And the tempter came to him and said, 'If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread.'" This moment is a key point in this encounter. It happens when Jesus, according to his humanity, is vulnerable. Satan's approach to Jesus at this time, after he had been fasting, is both cowardly and strategic. Satan will attack the starving Jesus when he is alone. But is it just about bread? Or is something bigger happening here? Jesus faces a survival situation. Without food, he could die. He is truly man. If Satan is bold enough to attack our master, starving, hungry, alone, do you think that you will escape such temptation, saints? During our difficult times, we should also expect to face spiritual temptations when we're weak. This might include struggles with sexual temptation, pride, coveting. We should be ready for these temptations like Jesus is. Now, this attack is a two-pronged attack. First, Satan attacks Jesus' identity. He says, "If you are the Son of God." Satan knows who Jesus is. Jesus himself says, "I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning." The "if" there in verse 3 is probably better understood as Satan's taunt. Something like, "Since you're the Son of God, prove it. Do what I say." The second prong of the temptation is that Satan commands Jesus, he commands him to turn stones into bread to satisfy his hunger. That's a seemingly practical solution, isn't it? Sounds reasonable. Jesus is hungry. Why not use his power to eat? After all, if he dies of starvation, how can he save anyone? Yet this is the trap. Listen closely to the tempter's tactic. Before this temptation, God had declared, "This is my beloved Son." And now Satan twists it, saying, "Prove it." It's the same trick he used in the garden. Did God really say? Satan taunts, "Do what only the Son of God could do. Turn the stones into bread." When the Father says, "This is my Son," Satan seeks to undermine God's word. The temptation isn't just about food. It's about allegiance and reliance. The tempter wants Jesus to feed himself, and in so doing, obey him instead of trusting in the words of his Father. This is the conflict. Who will Jesus obey? Will he obey Satan, or will he obey his Father? Remember, Jesus is standing in our place. He is our substitute. He is taking the test on our behalf. So how does Jesus respond? He does not fall into temptation. Instead, he counters with Scripture. He says, "It is written." He's quoting Deuteronomy 8:3. "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Jesus rejects Satan's commands to turn the stones into bread. He avoids falling into temptation by trusting the Father's provision for his needs. He relies on God's word to defend him. He teaches us that true life comes from obedience to God, not by proving his power to the devil. He relies on God's word to defend him. Now, this is how Jesus stands firm in this temptation, by trusting in God's word. But like Jesus, because of Jesus, we too can overcome temptation by relying on every word of Scripture. Wonder why Jesus chooses Deuteronomy 8:3 to counter Satan's temptation? It's no accident. It fits his situation perfectly. In that scripture, God tested the Israelites, letting them hunger in the wilderness, and he provided manna from heaven to sustain them. This was to teach them that their life came directly from the provision of God. Now Jesus faces that same temptation in the desert, affirming that life depends on God's word, not just food. This applies to all of us who bear his name. Will we trust in God's voice or our survival instincts? What do you need for life, saints? Think about it. Satan tempts Jesus to turn stones to bread and to prove himself. This is self-reliance dressed up as necessity. The temptation is to obey Satan, doubt God's word, and seek to sustain yourself. Rely on yourself. Prove yourself. This is how the Israelites were being tested in their wanderings. But for you and me, here's the hard truth. We cannot sustain ourselves. Not without God's word. There is nothing we can do to grant ourselves eternal life. We can't sustain ourselves, and we can't even add 1 second longer to our lives. There's no amount of effort that can give you to grant yourself eternal life. This is God's gift. When Jesus cites Deuteronomy 8:3, he teaches us that life isn't about food. Life is isn't about what you can do for yourself. Life is what God says. The life giver sustains us, empowers us for every good work by his word. And here's the wonderful thing. Jesus lives this out perfectly. He is the Word made flesh. He is the bread of life. He tells his disciples that I have food to eat that you don't know about, to obey my Father. His whole existence proves God's word is life. He is our example, our hope, showing us that true life comes from eating every word of God. Jesus defeats Satan by living by God's word. Satan's attack on Jesus' identity is how he will come after us too. Satan wants you to prove yourself, to find worth outside of God's declaration about us. And that declaration is this: if we are His, we are forgiven by grace, not works. And there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Maybe we chase approval from others or lean on our own strength. This is the same trap. Satan wants you to deny God's words. Prove yourself. May it never be, saints. Jesus teaches us that through His example, we must wield the Word of God in defense of our temptations. He is fasting from food, yes, but He is also feasting on the Word of God. This is how He withstands the devil's assaults. But for us, how can we use His words effectively if we don't know them? We are called to resist temptation with every word of God. Resist temptation by remembering Scripture, thinking about it, turning to Scripture for strength, especially in the areas where you feel weak and more likely to sin. Jesus says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Do you hear that? No word, no life. Ignore it, and you're starving your soul. I've seen it. People drifting from Scripture, withering spiritually. Without God's voice, you're lost. If that's you, if you've wandered from His words or never knew His voice, listen now. Jesus promises that the words that He has spoken to you are spirit and they are life. When you've failed to stop sinning and you cannot fight temptation and you lose over and over again, turn to Him. Repent. Turn from sin and death and renounce your works. Trust Him as your true master, your true friend, and lean on His words as your defense, your food. Jesus withstands the testing of the devil by succeeding where others could not, by living by God's word. Now, it's interesting here that Satan's first temptation was prove yourself. Now, Satan's second temptation becomes make God prove Himself. Let's continue reading verse 5. Then the devil took him to the holy place, his holy city, and set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, He will command His angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against the stone." And Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, You shall not put the Lord your God to the test." The second temptation is Jesus defeats Satan by trusting in God. Now, I had an opportunity once to do an odd job, paint a house. And I didn't think that I was afraid of heights. I climbed the ladder, started painting the house. Midway through the job, a strong wind came and shook the ladder and shook me. Then I was afraid of heights. It says in verse 5 that the devil took Jesus and placed him on the top of the temple. Satan puts Jesus in a dangerous spot. Friends, we often face danger because of we mess up and it's our own sin that got us there. But there's other times where it's not your fault. You didn't plan on this situation. It's not your fault. But what does Jesus do? Jesus stands on the temple's peak, a dangerous height. He could fall and he can die. If he dies there, his mission fails. Then you and I have no payment for sin. And this is where Satan tempts him. Satan says, throw yourself down. See if God cares. Test God. See if he loves you. He wouldn't let his son get hurt, would he? He shuts down temptation with Scripture. He quotes Deuteronomy 6, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Now let me be clear. This test is about challenging the Father's care for His Son. Satan wants Jesus to seek external validation of God's love for him. But look how Satan wants Jesus to test his Father through self-harm. Satan tells Jesus in verse 6, throw yourself down. I don't think that this temptation is asking Jesus to commit suicide outright. But Satan is urging Jesus to make what some might call a cry for help. Test your Father's care for you. Now let me speak plainly to you. If you feel invisible, like no one sees you, not even God, and if you're thinking of harming yourself, these thoughts are demonic. You need Christ, our only Savior. He sees you. He cares for you. He is life itself. Only He can shield you from Satan and from your own despair. It pleases God to redeem and restore you for His great name. If this is you, you're not alone. I've fought these things too. And I've found strength only in Christ. Don't test God by self-destruction. This is you. I personally want to talk to you. Now check this out. Satan quotes Psalm 91. That psalm promises believers ultimate safety from harm. However, Satan twists it again, because those promises were God's promises of eternal safety, not temporal. Think of the saints who face persecution. Many of our brothers and sisters are facing persecution now. Some cut in two, some fed to lions. Even the Lord Jesus Christ, He was a lamb led to slaughter. Going to His death, He trusted His Father, praying, not my will, but yours be done. In Psalm 91, it's about eternal promises. Satan uses this verse wrongly. But think about that. Satan uses Scripture. That's troubling. See how Satan uses a Bible verse in his attack? Think of the conversations you might have had. Maybe with a non-believer. They might say to you, doesn't your Bible say, love your neighbor? Or may they might lob out a, "Judge not, lest you be judged." Then they smirk and they say, "I've quoted your Bible, Christian, so you must accept my lifestyle. You must do what I say, or you must stay quiet about my sins." Does that sound familiar? It's meant to shut you up. What does Jesus do when Satan tries this trick? What does he say? Does he say, "You got me there, Satan. I'll do what you want"? Of course not. He fights twisted scripture with scripture. What's the lesson? We must use scripture to interpret scripture. To the degree that we understand and trust scripture is the degree that we trust God. When we use the Bible, we cannot use it like Satan does. Why test God? We have His sure word. We don't need to test God. The Father tested the Son. Jesus passed and completed this test. We don't need to test God's love. We can rest secure in our salvation from Satan's talons. Beloved, if you think God must prove His love to you, look only to Jesus Christ. He was beaten, bloody, and tortured, and He carried all of our many sins to His cross. Do we need to test God's love? He gave us His Son. Test Him. How will He not also, with Him, graciously give us all things? Trust God, beloved. He rose from the dead and ascended into heaven, and He lives forever. Trust God and His care for you. This is what Jesus shows us here. Jesus defeats Satan's temptation by trusting in God. Satan's second temptation was to make God prove His love. But when he's thwarted, look at Satan's third temptation. His third temptation becomes, "Make me your God and worship me." Let's look at the third temptation starting in verse 8. "Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, 'All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me.' Then Jesus said to him, 'Begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord God, your God, and Him only shall you serve.' Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him." Our final point, our third point, is that Jesus defeats Satan by worshiping God. In Matthew 4:8, it says that the devil took him and placed him on top of the mountain. In verse 9, Satan tempts him. He says, "All these kingdoms I will give to you." For this temptation to work, there has to be some truth in it. For it to be effective, there is some way that it is true. In a sense, at that time, Satan had been given temporary dominion over the kingdoms of this world. He offers these kingdoms to Jesus, but there's a catch. Do you see it? Satan says, "If." Do you see that word in the text? He tells Jesus to fall down and worship Him. Satan's deal is clear. "Jesus, I'll give you power. Just serve me." Accepting this deal would mean that Jesus would be accepting Satan's authority over the nations. Worse, Jesus would have to bow down to Satan, an act of idolatry. That's audacious. Obeying Satan would put Satan above God. But Scripture shows us that Jesus rejects this deal. The Israelites failed this test. They worshiped the golden calf. Jesus succeeds where Aaron and the people failed. Also, Adam and Eve chose Satan's deal. And they lost the kingdom God gave to them. Jesus takes the right path. He accepts authority over the nations only from His Father, not Satan. In Psalm 2, the Father promises the Son. He says, "Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage, and the ends of the earth your possession." Jesus will inherit the nations. They aren't Satan's to give. His ascension, Jesus declares, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." His authority is given from the Father, not by Satan. Jesus now holds what Satan offered falsely. He earns it the right way, the suffering way. He goes to the cross and dies sinlessly. He does not fall into temptation. He is raised to life, and therefore he gains an everlasting kingdom. How does Jesus defeat Satan here? In verse 10, he commands Satan to leave, again quoting Scripture. Jesus resists, and Satan flees. Scripture tells us to do the same. It says, "Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." How does Jesus overcome this temptation? By worshiping God alone. He worships God. He serves God and no one else. Jesus says, "You shall worship the Lord your God, and Him only shall you serve." And again, Jesus is not a hypocrite. He worships God. Yes, when we find ourselves in temptation, we can worship God to defeat Satan. But even more, we can proactively worship God to defeat Satan. When our hearts are full of God's love, it's hard for Satan to get its hooks in temptation and take hold of you. Follow Christ's example. Resist Satan by rejecting idols and worshiping the only true God. Simply by rejecting idols is not enough, though, because our heart will fill it with another. Jesus shows us to both reject idols and worship God. This is His weapon for the battle against Satan: worship. If you belong to God, He claims your whole heart, and He will not share His worship. God is a jealous God. Worship Him alone, saints. If you're thinking to yourself, "Oh, how can I do this? Oh Lord, I mess up time and time again, and I seek other idols." Be assured, brothers and sisters, that your fidelity to God is as good as Christ's fidelity to God, because you are in Him and He is in you. What happens after Christ resists the devil? In verse 18 of this chapter, He is calling disciples. Why is that important? Because He calls His disciples after resisting Satan's temptations. If you believe in Christ and you are His disciple, you can face temptation because He has. You can say with Paul, It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Jesus is Emmanuel. This means that He is here with us. Not just when He was here 2,000 years ago, but right now. Jesus is living in you through His Spirit. The life that you live is powered by Him if you're a believer. He gives us everything we need to fight temptation because He's already done it. Now look to verse 11. After all these temptations and combat with Satan, the angels cared for Jesus. They ministered to Him. Beloved, will you fight against Satan's temptations? The true battle doesn't end today. You may have another 80 years to fight temptation. Our battle ends when our souls go to be with Him at our death, or on the last day when our Master returns. Where there is no sin and there is no temptation, then God will care for you throughout eternity. Christ was tested for your sake. He lives by God's word. He trusts God and He worships God to withstand the devil's testing and succeed where others could not. Let's pray. Oh, thank You, Father, for Your Son, Jesus Christ, that when we fail, even fail massively, when we were tempted, we can rely on Jesus Christ. Thank You, Lord Spirit, for showing us Jesus Christ. Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let the words of life dwell richly in us and not pass away from our minds so quickly. Jesus, Master, we can withstand the devil, not on our own, but because You have. You have defeated Satan. Lord Jesus, Master, our sins You have borne on Your body. Lord, we praise Your great name, and it's in Your name we pray. Amen.